4, verse 17 to 24. Ephesians chapter, I didn't even have my glasses on. Chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. As soon as you have it, please stand. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to verse 24. If by chance you get to church enough to hear the call of worship, I actually have been going through Ephesians from chapter 1 up until this point, so you should have pretty good context. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17 to 24, reads, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have been given and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." I did that. Our title this morning is Remember Who You Are. Remember Who You Are. Now come to the funny part, y'all. Bam. Two portions, verses 17 to 19, remember how to walk. And the next section that we will, it's going to be a short presentation, will be verses 20 to 24, and that will be remember what you have learned. Paul's admonition: don't walk like the Gentiles do because they are separated from God. Separation. What is separation? Speak up, sister. Talk to me rough. I'm calling her out. I'm kidding. Just kidding, y'all. The separation means that you're apart. Step out the way. You're taking notes. Watch it. Means that you're separated. And if you're separated from God, that means you got some problems. What are the problems? I lean to my own understanding. I don't acknowledge God at all because what? I'm separated from God. And their understanding is darkened as a result of being separated from God. That's why when we go to witness to somebody, we should not be mad at them because they can't hear. Because separation causes some interesting things to those who are separated. Number one, listen, what it should cause in the one who's united with God is patience with the ones that are separated. Because we know for sure that we were once like that. And that we heard, and we heard, and we heard, and finally we responded. But the time in between we heard and we responded was great. So we don't forget that. So what if they don't hear? I see your son, Dan. I see him back there working that board. And I say, Lord, what have you done? I'm not trying to call you out, brother, but it's amazing the way God You don't think he's going to do something, and then he does it. He takes you from separation to relationship. And listen, it blows my mind every time he does it. Because in our human minds, because we forget who we are sometimes, we think, oh, no, no, no. You're too far gone. You'll never change. Really. The same thing was said about us. But God worked it out. Oh, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. Sister Debbie, how you feeling today? If you would, sister, could you come up here and read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 for me? I'm glad to see her back, for real. Please don't tell nobody I said that.
I'm glad to be back.
Think I like her or something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience.
He's talking to the Ephesians who are in this cesspool in Ephesus. Amen. Now they have Diana worship going on. They have priests and they have priestesses. And they also, a form of their worship, you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The form of their worship was sexual contact. That was a form of their worship. Now this is a context that this is set behind. Now, you were dead in trespasses and sin. But listen, those who are separated from God, they are by their own futility, the futility of the mind, the nothingness of the mind, they are worshiping that dead thing that can't talk to them, and they participated in sexual acts to actually worship. That's what happens when you're dead in trespasses and sin.
Amen.
Your head is blown out your skull.
Mm-hmm.
You are out of your mind.
Amen.
I can hold up that question.
Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind.
That it? Amen. That's it. Boy, you did good. She did good. Fresh from surgery. Got up here, did a dramatic reading. Thank you. You were once like that. But you're not like that anymore. Do you know what a doctor's scalpel is called? Well, scalpel. That was good. I like that. That was good. That was good. Yeah. He's a wizard there. Does it have any power of its own? It's only an instrument when it's in the hand of a doctor, an effective instrument when it's in the hand of a doctor, right? The Bible says, Pastor, not your limbs, because you're holy. Listen, it says, my limbs were instruments of unrighteousness. Yeah. Yeah. They were powered by this world system, which acted in concert with my deadness. That's what happens when my separation was happening. Sin was ruling in my life. It say, jump, Billy, and I say, how high? Watch myself. Thank you, Jesus. But listen. Since the separation here has now been erased, and now a relationship has started. My instruments now, my feet and hand and mouth and everything, are now controlled by the Spirit of God, by the will of God, for the good of God. So now I am not no longer an instrument of unrighteousness. I am now an instrument of righteousness. God said, jump, and I say, how high now? Listen, there's still somebody calling on the line, Pastor. They pick up the phone and dial B-I-L-L-Y, send. Ding. I feel pretty good. Jesus, thank you. Man. Ding. Ding. I always look and see who called. I don't know why. Who is that? This time when it called, Brother Phil, it says, I'm your old life. I'm calling. You remember when?
Yeah.
Listen. While I'm looking, Sister Woodmore, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm not separated no more. I'm now in relationship to God. It's calling me, but I don't have to answer.
Right. Right.
Even if it's something I just love to do, I'm not answering no more.
Amen.
I got power not to answer.
Amen.
Now, the people being yet, after the first Adam, sin is the nature. Listen. Adam was our federal head. He stood in the legislature of humankind and stood at the very head. He said, I'm going to legislate unrighteousness is what I'm going to do. By disobedience to God, he was in the Congress and he legislated us to die in sin, everybody that was born behind him. So your legislator failed on your part. But listen, I did this intentionally here. First, that implies that there's something else. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, read that whole chapter, it's really about resurrection. But inside that thing, the principle lies. It says this guy here was given life, the first one. But the last Adam was made a life giver.
Yeah.
Now, this federal head failed me. But the Jesus Christ is the last Adam. And he stands in the front of my legislative body and says, anybody who lives and believes in me is now no more separated, but they are relationally hooked up to God now. Ring. I don't have to answer no more because my federal head has now fixed my life. Paul illustrates the mindset of the unbelieving Gentiles in Ephesus. Because of their constant sin, they have no restriction to their love of sin. I was just talking to my mother about this the other day. We having being off, you all, I thought it was going to be kind of tough. But an interesting thing happens. I get to fellowship with my mom now. We sitting eating some pancakes and just eating. I had to remark that I was always at Homer Phillips one way or another. Somebody knew about Homer Phillips. My Homer G, amen. My aunts were, they lived on Edsel, and they had a gangway. And on the side of the gangway were these black iron pipes that stick out where they put coal oil in. And man, I'm ripping and running, and boys gonna run, and they're gonna run, and I run, and when I look up, blam! Bust my head open, and off to Homer Phillips we go. We be getting in the car, getting ready to go somewhere, and they slam the door, slam! Slam my finger in the door, off to Homer Phillips again. So, I was a regular, well, I was born there, so I guess they kind of knew me, so. Anyway, yeah. So, listen. What I was trying to get at is that a cut or a something that's opened up over and over and over again has a tendency to lose its sensitivity. So as they lived according to their own mind and sinned over and over and over, and this is illustrated with going to Homer Phillips over and over again, they lost sensitivity. That's like Sodom and Gomorrah. You want to check that out? I sure didn't miss that sign of stuff. After the angel smote them with blindness, the Bible says they wearied themselves still trying to get to the door. Listen, I would have thought, sister, if I was trying to go somewhere and do something I wasn't supposed to do and I got struck with blindness, I'd be trying to feel my way home. But these people, they were so messed up and desensitized because they were separated from God, they kept going and going and going. That's the Ephesians. But that's not Trinity no more. We are sensitive to God now. Where we were insensitive to righteousness, we are now sensitive now. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Sister McCullough, I haven't called on you yet. I know you're saying, shoot. I'm sorry. Audrey McCullough. Is there another McCullough in the house?
Romans 1, 21
to 23.
For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Sensitivity to God. Insensitivity to sin. Loser. Oh, it's a miracle. Now, Paul told them to remember how you walk in verse 17 and 19. Now, in this section, remember what you have learned. Paul tells the saint that the teaching they received about Christ was not like that of the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. Hey, I'm almost through. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. I call upon a reader, the dramatic reader. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. Leave her alone, y'all. Leave her alone. She's my dramatic reader. Leave her alone.
And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints in the work of ministry.
Wait a minute. The amazing thing is he not only gave you power, but he educated
you. He gave you the resources so that you would live a separated life anymore by what he's given you according to what the text says. So we have no excuse. Anybody been in school? Maybe my mom should have been here when I say this. You're in school and you have homework issues. And the teacher say, where's your homework at? I think my dog ate it. She would say, you have no excuse. For it was clear what I gave you assignment-wise. You have no excuse. So I'm going to sit down a second. So when it rings, remember what you've been taught.
Yeah.
I gave you power. Use it.
Yeah.
I ain't stopping no more. I ain't gonna stop it no more. Come on.
Amen. Amen. For the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness.
That was good.
Verse 14.
Amen. Amen. After the pause. Amen.
Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit.
So listen, in the context of Ephesians, Ephesus, because he has supplied us, Pastor, with all that we need, even though we live by these cesspools, we don't have to live like we used to live. We used to worship with the rest of the people at the temple of Diana, but since we've been taught we don't worship at the temple of Diana anymore, we are now at the temple of the Spirit of God. He lives inside of this temple. And that is being fixed, and it's been grown up by these pastors and teachers, evangelists, so that we won't be children anymore, tossed to and fro. I get amen, Pastor. Oh, man. Get some tomatoes thrown or something. Also, this teaching about Christ empowers you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live like you are alive from the dead. Jesus in John chapter 11, brother, stands at the tomb of Lazarus, and he calls singularly to Lazarus in a loud voice, the Bible says, and Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Now, listen, when Lazarus get out of the tomb, brother, he's alive and moving, but he still got some grave clothes on. Jesus said, take them grave clothes off of here. He's in the land of the living now. He don't need no death wrap. He needs to take it off. Listen, y'all. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? New. So when they call me, especially on my phone, that's still working in my life. Remember what you've been taught. Now, there's another aspect. It's something about my gray matter Something about my gray matter. When I was separated from God, when this first Adam, my legislative head, made the wrong decision, legislated the wrong thing, something happened to my mind. It just loved to disobey God. Pastors, teachers, evangelists were given so that my mind can be what? Renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Everybody ought to know that. Somebody was clearing their throat. Did they want to read? Sorry, brother. I didn't mean to call you out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Come on, brother. Rush. You don't have to rush. Let's just take your time. I'm always rushing, so that's
just
good.
Just 1 and 2?
1 and 2, yes, sir.
You want me to stop after 1?
1 and 2. 1 and 2.
All right, just making sure.
Hold on.
Oh, okay, all right.
Remember what you've been taught.
Right. Come on my head. And say,
go ahead, brother.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Wait, listen. At the temple of Diana, you had dead people offering to dead idols. Go ahead.
Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He remembered. Amen. You had dead people offering to dead idols. You all need to Google Diana of the Ephesians and see what they were offering sacrifices to. Listen. Now, since your separation is no longer invoked in your life, you are now the sacrifice being offered. It's no more dead sacrifices being offered. You are the live sacrifice being offered. So now you have live people motoring up to the altar there. I ain't gonna get on y'all. Swoosh! I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy, without any exclusions. So you didn't learn Christ the way the temple of Diana's are doing it. Dead people with dead sacrifices. You are now alive to Christ. You are dead to sin and alive to Christ now. When Jesus say jump, you say how high? No matter what it looks like in life, you say how high, Jesus. One more. You're an excellent reader. Come here, man. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you all, I'm not picking on him at all.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13.
All right. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
You want me to read again?
You did good. Go
okay.
Right here. That's your seat over there. Amen. Amen. You did good. Amen. Listen. Not only did he save you, he saved you. But according to what Ephesians 1:13, I'm using this as a seal, Pastor. He put his seal on you. Bam. What I mean when he put the seal on you in the Roman situation, that means your seal is as good as the power behind the seal. God seals you with the Holy Spirit, number one. Now, can I ask you a question? Who can break that seal? Since he created everything and everybody, principalities, powers, authorities, rulers, everything. Things that you see, things that you can't see. So when you're sealed with the Spirit of God, nobody can break it. Listen, the way David lived, If I was the one sealing them, I'd have broke that seal a long time ago. I'm telling you. Because the way he lived sometime, it didn't look quite right. But listen, we need to watch what we're looking at and watching how we judge it. Because God is not through with the product yet. You're positionally seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But the practical portion of your sanctification is not done yet. Situations, problems, money issues, health issues, back issues that is growing you up in Jesus Christ. You all have been equipped. There's no excuse for continuing to sin. You've been sealed with the Spirit of God. He lives on the inside of you. Sister Marilyn, am I right when you're permanently stationed somewhere in the Army? What do they call that? Do you remember? I ain't gonna put you on the spot. They call it a permanent duty station. I learned that from Brother Ernest in one of his cognitive moments there. It wasn't bad. Don't hit me. I was joking when I said it. The Spirit of God has permanent duty station on the inside of you. If you have a permanent duty station, that's your station forever. Now in the Army, now you have a permanent duty station, but when you finish serving, you go. When the Spirit of God is sealed in you, he's there forever. So in the life of David, when he's messing up, the seal's still on him. God's not through with him yet. He's not through with you all yet. Isn't patience one of the fruit of the Spirit? Listen, if that seal is on you, the produce of that Spirit of God should be evident in your life. Okay. Hey, conclusion. Number one, God has placed the saints where he wants them. Although the Spirit of God lives permanent duty station in you, he places you exactly where he wants you to be. He gives you the husband exactly. He gives you the exact husband that he wants you to have. He gives you the exact. Brother Ernest, did you look like that? He gives you the right, the exact wife you're supposed to have. You know what? Adam in the garden, after they messed up, well, let's say before he messed up, God brought this woman to him. Stand up here, skip. I mean, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you that. God brought him this beautiful woman. Come tell me, baby. brought him this, he said, man, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know, this is the part that's going to complete me. Soon as they mess up, God, is this woman you gave me? That's the problem. No, the problem is with you. So, saints are to be transformed. Saints are to be to transform their environment, number one. And not be transformed by it. Wherever my station is, some salt should be sprinkled somewhere. Some light should be shining somewhere. Because, number one, I've been equipped. And the Spirit of God has sealed me. So there should be some evidence somewhere. James says, faith without works is what? Dead. There's a moving component to you saying that you believe Jesus Christ. There should be a verb in that thing somewhere, a action word that says, I'm on the move doing what he told me to do. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Whew, Lord, thank you this morning. Your power is immeasurable. Thank you for exercising your power in me today. And then, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God, work on the hearer that they, Lord, help them not to be the same anymore. Help them to understand every word that was spoken in the name of Jesus, because this is your will. And Lord, we just bless you. We thank you. You are faithful, even when we're unfaithful. Thank you. Thank you again, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.